start your day this way, Rabbi Yehuda Steinberg.
Good morning. This is my father's shlita. Alle chavusse der Eretz Yisrael kut bevorm rosen bam. It's magid shir. They used to say to me the following thing: when you ever speak in public, if you say a joke, wait a year before you say it again, because people remember jokes. If you say a story, wait 6 months. People remember stories, but not quite as well. If the person before you said it dvar teva, don't worry. You can say the same one and no one will notice. That was with most audiences. But for the audience that comes every day to start the day, in the cold, in the winter, in the dark, in the rain, I have to be very careful, because I'm sure that if I say something which I said in years gone by, people will stop me and say, what are you talking about? You said this last time. Now, I was thinking about this a little, because it's funny enough. I spoke about Parshas Vayishlach 2 years ago, and also 5 years ago. I don't know why, but somehow, Ashkoch arranged it, that Menachem David always asks me Parshas Vayishlach. So, my main aim... It's a long sejo. My main aim is to see if we can think about things, talk about things, which we haven't spoken about in the past. The parasha is obviously hundreds and hundreds of limudim. So we'll try and find a few new ones, or we can think about over Shabbos. The parasha mainly, the Ramban tells us, is to tell us how a person should behave in Golus. How should a person behave, how a person should react towards Esav. And it's a very important parasha in that sense, because of the fact that we are in Golus. And we have a very lot to do with the goyim. It's a constant struggle. How does one behave? How does one react towards them? How does one treat them? It's a very big challenge, big avodah. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zorah, which tells us a lot about this. And this Gemara is a Gemara which when one thinks about, one has to... Shiva isn't the word. It's an unbelievable Gemara. Gemara in Avodah Zorah, Daf Yud. The Gemara tells us that Yehuda Anossi had a friend, if one can call him a friend, Antoninus. The Gemara is quite long. I'm only going to say Rosh Prokim. Antoninus once said to Yehuda Anossi that I have many advisors, probably the Senate, I think they had, and I want to be good to Klal Yisrael, and they don't allow me. What should I do? So Yehuda Anossi led him into his garden, and every day he picked off one radish out of the garden, a tiny little radish. So Antoninus says, I know what you want me to do. To kill one of my ministers every day. If I kill one at a time, nobody will notice. If I do it in one go, try and get rid of them all in one go, it won't work. So one at a time, and that's what he did. He got rid of all those who hated Klal Yisrael. No, that's a different story, I'm getting there in a minute. From the Senate he killed, from his advisors, from his government, he killed one a day. What happened was, he wanted to learn with Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, imagine. So what he did was, he built a special tunnel from his own palace to Rabbi Yehuda Anossi's palace. And he asked Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, I want to make sure that nobody ever sees us learning together. So what he used to do is, he used to take two guards with him. One he killed on the way there, and one he killed on the way back. And one time he came into Yehuda Anossi's office to learn with him, his room, and he saw that Amoyer Rab Chanina Bar Choma was sitting there. So he said to Yehuda Anossi, I told you I don't want anybody to see this, that the great Caesar, the great emperor of Rome, should come and learn Yehuda Anossi. Who knows what consequences might come out of this. So Yehuda Anossi said to him, you don't need to worry, this is not like a normal human being. The Antoninus was not reassured. So he told Rabbi Chanina Bar Choma to go outside and call in the guard that he had just killed. Chanina Bar Choma walked outside and he saw a dead guard lying there on the floor. And he thought to himself, what should I do? Should I go back in and say I can't bring him in, he's dead? One doesn't give bad news to a king. Should I not listen to him? That's also wrong. A king asks you to do something, you do what you're told. Kavod l'malchus. So I have to listen. He asked me to bring him in. I have to do something. So he did chias ameisim, and he brought him back in. And Antoninus was very, very nispol. Antoninus said, I can see how great you are, that the smallest amongst you can be mechay meisim, but still I do not want that you should be together in the room. I want to be by myself. When Rabbi Yehuda Anasi would go to bed, as I said, I can't go through all of it, but when Rabbi Yehuda Anasi went to bed, Antoninus would lie down on the floor, so that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi would have a little step to climb into bed. Sometimes climbing into bed is a little bit of effort. So by lying on the floor, Antoninus wanted to make it a tiny bit easier for Rabbi Yehuda Anasi to climb into bed. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi didn't want. He said, it's not covered for a melech. So he said to him, if only I will be zeicher to be your carpet, your bedcloth in Olam Abba. It would be a schus for me if you stand on me, because then that way I can come to Olam Abba and say that I was mishamish, I helped Rabbi Yehuda Anasi a little bit. And in fact, Antoninus asked him at the end of it all, will I get any Olam Abba? And he actually quoted him a pasuk from this week's Haftarah, that if a person does do the right thing, nimne goy gets Olam Abba. And the Medrash tells us, Medrash Rabbah in this week's parsha, that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi once needed to write a letter to Antoninus. He needed to write him a letter. And how did he write the letter? So he had a gabber called Rabbi Ephes, who wrote it for him, and he wrote, from Rabbi Yehuda Anasi to the great King Antoninus. And Rabbi Yehuda Anasi read the letter and he tore it up. And he said to him, that's not how you write. You write Me'avdecho, from your slave, Yehuda, to the great king, Antoninus. Well, just have to think for a moment. Antoninus was ready to be a step, a stool for Yehuda Anasi. But even so, Yehuda Anasi thought, that's not how you write. He wrote him Anasi, Antoninus Anasi, but he didn't write Avdecho, your slave. So Rabbi Ephes said to him, is that how you write about yourself, the Anasi? So he said, am I greater than Yaakov Avinu, koyomar avdecho Yaakov im lovon garti? And this is one very, very important nekuda, that while we're in Golos, we have to treat the goyim with tremendous, tremendous outward respect. That is the avoid, part of the avoid of Golos. A person who doesn't, a person who, police officer, a person who parks double in the line and he gets a parking attendant. And, well, it's a person has to understand, you have to speak with derech eretz. The goy one speaks with tremendous, tremendous derech eretz. You see that? But it's interesting that what's the pasuk carry on? Im lovon garti. And everybody knows the famous chazal, im lovon garti, v'taryak mitzvahs shomarti, I kept the 613 mitzvahs. Moshe Feinstein says a nice, beautiful word. He says like this. What's the time of gematria? Galati, gematria tariag. Think about it. Yaakov lived with Lavan for 20 years. And he says, in Lavan galati, galati is Loshen Gerus. I was a stranger in Lavan's house for 20 years. He lived by his shver, married four of his daughters. He had loads of children. I lived, imagine a person does that, moves into his Shver's community for 20 years, marries two of his daughters and has loads of grand, and says, I was a stranger there for 20 years. That is how you would manage to keep him Tayag Mitzvah Shomarti. That was the raya that Tayag Mitzvah Shomarti, he could live there, he could speak to him with Derech Eretz and everything else. But in Lavan Galti, I understood this is not my place. I could speak to him with Kavod, I could be with him. But Galti, I always saw myself as a stranger then. So Chazisul says weiter, Vayhi li shoy v'chamoy. Vayhi li lovam was to me shoy v'chamoy, like an ox and a donkey. He says, interesting in the Kudah, the Rambam says, Derech Adam li is the nimshach. After his friends, a person's nature, the actual nature of a person is he follows and he tries to fit into the society that he's in. A person moves into community, picks up the accent, the language, the way of dressing. So Chazisul asks, why does it be that a shepherd spends years and years in the field with his sheep and he never starts acting like a sheep? Why is that? dances because he realizes it's a different bria. There's no connection to him whatsoever. Yaakov Avinu could carry on and speak with tremendous derech eretz, but nevertheless, im lovon galti, I'm a ger by lovon, I'm a stranger by lovon, and therefore tayag mitzvah shomarti, I kept away completely from him. By hili shoy v'chamoy, he was like in my mind, like an ox and a donkey. He can be very nice to the ox and donkey, but there's no comparison, there's no connection. That is the nekudah of Golus. So Golus is, you have to speak, speak to them with their hearts. It's wrong to speak about going too badly in front, especially. First, I have to understand, this is how Rabbi Yehuda Anossi spoke, Abdecho to Antoninus Anossi, but with a tremendous, tremendous distance. Shoy v'chamoy, like a shoy v'chamoy, is no more to me like a shoy v'chamoy. There was no heimishkeit, there was no connection. Galti, I could be there for 20 years, I'm still a stranger there. Which Vanshin adds a very, also, that he said, why was the first thing that Yaakov says to Lavan, to Esav, Tayag Mitzvah Shabalti? He says, because he was saying to Esav, I want to be friends with you. Koyama Abdecho Yaakov. But as long as Tayag Mitzvah Shabarti, I'm happy to be your friend and to be your Eved. But as long as Tayag Mitzvah Shabarti, as long as I can carry on with the mitzvahs, that's the Aleph base. He sends a message to Esav. But the message is one of, the first thing is Tayag Mitzvah Shabarti, I have to keep the mitzvahs. That's the Aleph base. So we see already some of the nekudas of what we can learn and of how to behave in Golos. We have the Avdecho Yaakov. We have the Galti, it's a Lashim Gevos, a stranger. And we have Elishoy v'chamoy. It's all a very, very important message, as we said, in Golos. As I said, I want to mention things we haven't spoken in the past. So I'm not going to go Kaseidah to the Parsha. It's a very, very powerful Chizkuni in this week's Parsha, which my father Shlita spoke it about, mentioned it to me. In this week's Parsha, it tells us that Yaakov Avinu had 12 sons. Where were the 12 sons born? They were born as Yulad, they were Paddan Avram. They were born in Paddan Avram. Where's Paddan Avram? Not there, it's so. But Binyamin wasn't born in Paddan Avram. Binyamin was born in Eretz Yisrael. As Yulad, Loi. But Paddan Avram, they were born to him in Paddan Avram. How can you say they were born in Paddan Avram? They were not born in Paddan Avram. Says the Chizkuni that since Rachel Imenu davened for Binyamin in Paddan Avram, because she said, Yosef al Shebli Benacha, therefore it's as if they were born in Paddan Avram. The tefillah is so powerful that that is the place that something is created. It's interesting, the Mami Pano Mukubal says the same word in the Suk Fosuk. As Yulad Bebe Paddan Avram, that were born in Paddan Avram. Nowadays, the Father Shita says, you pick up any toy, and what does it say? Made in China. Everything, every little toy, every plastic toy is made in China. Imagine how many things should be said on them, made in MH. Thousands upon thousands of tefillahs, and that is what creates everything. Things are created through our tefillahs. First of all, walk in Olam Abba, in Olam Emes, and he'll see that he once davened for Panosa. What happened was he davened for the Kehillah, and different people had more Panosa because of him. All done in the Beis HaMedrash, in the shul that he davened. The place that a person davens is the place that something is created. It is interesting, again, going back to the beginning of the parashas, that Yaakov Avinu uses three methods to deal with Esav, and one of the three methods is tefillah. Tefillah is the powerful weapon that every Yid has to deal with Golus. Tefillah is one of the things that Chazal tell us, is kum zulis divnei adam, is things that are imdim berumoy shel olam, and people are mezalzal in tefillah. I just want to say two ha'orahs about tefillah. One ha'orah is that we can't know the chashivus of any mitzvah versus another. But the mitzvah that we spend the most amount of time, besides for learning Torah, those who are able zikha to learn all the time, but the mitzvah that we spend most of the time, more of any other time, is tefillah. average day, a person spends an hour and a half davening at least. And on Shabbos, it's much more. Yom Tovim, it's much more. We don't spend anywhere near that kind of time on any other mitzvah. Tefillah is a mitzvah which is beyond the sheer of how much time we just put into it. One other horror is like this, is that sometimes people are not meisim lev. There's a fundamental difference between Shema and Shmoneh Esrei in terms of kavanah. Something to remember over. A person who says Shema, and he thinks every word what it means, he's been mekayim a mitzvah say of saying Shema. A person who goes through Shmoneh Esrei and he thinks every word what it means, he hasn't actually done anything. Maybe he's learned what the words of Shmoneh Esrei mean. But unless he thinks, I'm actually saying this to Hashem, I'm actually speaking now to Hashem, then he hasn't started davening. Davening is a process when a person comes in front of Hashem, he stands in front of Hashem and he speaks to Hashem. The person reads, Baruch Atah Hashem, and he goes through and he works through what every word means. He's got this nice pirush on the side and he's got every word clear in his mind. But he doesn't stop for a moment to think that he's actually speaking to Hashem. He hasn't actually started davening. That's a very big difference between Shema. Shema isn't davening. Shema is what a person has to believe, what a person has to accept. Shmoneh Esrei, tefillah, is the basic avoid of actually speaking to Hashem. There are many halachas that help us with this. We'll take three steps forward. You're not allowed to walk in front of somebody. There's Maril Diskin, that if an Arab is bowing down on the floor, you shouldn't walk in front of him. Maril Diskin says such a thing. Because he's standing in front of Hashem. And therefore, since he's standing in front of Hashem, don't walk and interrupt. A person has the ability to stand in front of Hashem the moment that he chooses to. But until he chooses to stand in front of Hashem, he's not in front of Hashem. But that is the aleph base of tefillah. A person has to realize that he's standing and speaking to Hashem. If a person's not, he hasn't started the tefillah. It's important in the kuddah. Sometimes people are not so meisim lev. People don't always realize. They understand that Shema yaftav kodesh Shema yaftav kavodah. They work through every word. But they have to appreciate tefillah means actually talking to Hashem. You could say Hashem is my God without thinking at all that I'm talking to Hashem. We say Shema yaftav Hashem elokeinu. You don't have to be speaking to Hashem. You can talk about the fact that Hashem is your God. It is interesting, though, I have to admit, that there's a very interesting medrash. First I thought it's all these medrashim, but I see that it's brought down in many places. Hakdeski brings it in others. And they asked the Kasha, Shiulad Lebe Padan Aram, was no one actually born in Padan Aram. So we said the Chizkuni, that the Rochel davened. There's a medrash that says that Rochel Imeinu became expecting in Padan Aram. And since Yulad, Rashi says, Hoylodo can sometimes mean the moment of conception, therefore was born in Padan Aram. The obvious question you should all jump up and ask is, how can that be? It was 18 months later. 18 months later. So there's a medrash that the pregnancy of Binyamin took a very, very long time. And what's very interesting is, first I thought, okay, so it's Santa medrash. But in fact, it's actually brought down in a few places in different ways. For example, Haman and Mordechai Tzadik had an argument. Haman said to Mordechai Tzadik, why don't you bow down to me? Yeah, I could bow down to Esav. So Mordechai HaTzadik said, but Binyamin didn't. So Haman said, yes, he did. Rochel was already expecting him. And then it was 18 months before. It was also 18 months before. So Haman held like that. Another word, the Medrash says, Ben Oini. Why did Rochel complain? Ben Oini, the son of my tzar. Because she felt she had been expecting for him for almost 2 years. So Ben Oini. And there's another Medrash. Medrash says, that's why Yosef HaTzadik stood in front of Rochel. He didn't want that Binyamin, who was already, again, before the 18 months, was already as a uber, as a fetus, should have any shaykhs to Esav, so that's why he stood in front. So the Medrash is brought down in a few places that Tacitus was a unique story, but that's not the vort Vashiyula Lebepadin Aram. It's a very famous story, but it's still Kedai, it's nice to say it over for Shabbos, but it's got a nice message as well. And there was once a story like this. The Brisker Rav was once traveling somewhere in Europe, and it was a cold, bitter night, and he knocked on some inn door, Yiddish inn, and the person was tired and couldn't be bothered, so he couldn't be bothered making any food, Could be bothered heating up the room, and he left him shivering in some little room on the side. A few hours later, Chassidish Rebbe came with a tremendous entourage with all his chassidim and gaboim, and the innkeeper gets up, and he puts in some hot soup, and heats up the house to make it all comfortable for him. And this person, he goes to wash the Rebbe, and he sees in the side room, the Viskarov, and he recognizes him. He says, "What are you doing over here?" So he chaps and he calls over the innkeeper. He says, "Don't you realize you've got the Gadol HaDori in your house? And instead of you treating him with Derech Eretz, you've left him to shiver there. And what's going on over here? How can you behave such a thing?" And when the innkeeper realizes what he's done, he goes to the Viskarov to ask him Mechila. And he says to him, "What have I done? It's a terrible, terrible thing. Please be moichel me. I never knew you were the Viskarov. I never knew. If I would have known, I would never have treated you like that." So he says to him, the Viskarov says to him a vort on this week's parasha, that, we'll know the story, that Shechem ben Chamoy takes Dina and ma'anas her. And the pasuk says, it's shtikla double loshen. He says to her, the pasuk says, "Ki nevola osa b'Yisroel lishkav es bas Yaakov, a disgrace was done in Klal Yisrael, v'chein lo ya'osa, and so shall not be done." What's supposed to mean? Pasuk already says, "Ki nevola osa b'Yisroel." It's a terrible thing to do. Why does it have to say v'chein lo ya'osa? Viskov explained to him like this: you have a good excuse. You didn't know I was the Viskov, but that would be a good excuse if the way you behaved towards me was right in other circumstances. If another poshta yid would come into your house, would that be right for you to leave him cold and hungry? Then you could say, "I didn't know you're the Viskarov, so that's why I behave like that to you." But besides, since v'chein lo yo'osa, it is wrong for you to do that to anybody, so therefore that you don't have an excuse. No yid should be treated like that. And that's shat in the posuk. Ki nevol osa b'yisro lishkav espas Yaakov, Yaakov the gedol adoy, Yaakov the leader of the world. And you take his daughter like that. How can you do such a thing? But furthermore, v'chein lo yo'osa, it's wrong to be done to anybody. This is not how anybody should be treated. And that is why your excuse, the Viskarov said to the innkeeper, is no good. It's a nice word, and it's a nice pshat in posuk. There's also another message over here. So many times a person comes up to a cheshbon why something is wrong, and he forgets the basics. Get the basics, you've lost a lot of the plot, a lot of the story. So, Ma'is of Shomash Fadron once was to beg, he was a Talmud of Rele Lapion. I used to constantly beg him, "Can I help you? Can I bring a cup of tea? Can I do something?" Rele Lapion was a very old man and he was a huge tzaddik, and Shomash Fadron wanted to have a schus to help him. One time Rele Lapion was feeling shvach, and he said to Shomash Fadron, "Please will you make me a cup of tea?" Well, the excitement, a cup of tea for Rele Lapion. So he jumps up, Rele Lapion stops him and he says to him, "What are you thinking?" So Shomash Fadron says, "I'm thinking, I've got this chus v'meshamash a Talmud Chacham." So Rele Lapion said to him, "I forbid you to make me the tea." "So why, what did I do wrong?" He said, "Here you have opportunity to do chesed, an old man, not feeling so good, tired, and you've got opportunity to do poshta chesed. And you're getting up and start thinking about being Meshamish at Talmud Chacham. Think about the basics. It's an important message. V'chein lo yo'osa. K'nevo lo'osa b'ba'asak. V'chein lo yo'osa. Think about what's the aleph base comes first." Somebody told me that he was offered a job. An American person. So couldn't decide whether to take it or not. Went to the bottom in America. He told me the name, I forgot it. I started telling him all the different stadim. And the Rav stopped him and he said to him, "And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want?" He was very embarrassed. That question, as like that, had never been come across his head. And it's a pachat sometimes, because sometimes a person can get complicated and forget about the aleph bris. That's a mistake. That's what the Viskarov will say to him. You've got all kinds of cheshbonos. V'chein lo yo'osa, this isn't right. A person has to remember sometimes, let's not forget the basics. Santa Vortis, to think about, is like this, that by the story of Shechem, so Shimon Malevi go and kill out the entire city. Try to think about lessons that we can apply to ourselves. So Yaakov tells them off. So Shimon and Levi justified. Achazuni yasas achisenu. So they seem to have got the last word in, right? Achazuni yasas achisenu. They seem to get the last words in. Yaakov doesn't say anything. The answer is he does reply to them. Not then, but about 50 years later. 50 years later, he says to them, Shimon Levi Achim, Tichomus Bechurusem, he tells them off. He waited years and years and years to tell them what the right thing should have been. Many times we're very busy with chinuch. We see a child do something wrong, a friend, a Talmud, and we think of chinuch as like one of these things. You see somebody doing something wrong, you tell him, you've done something wrong. But Yaakov Avinu wasn't like that. Yaakov Avinu spent years of his life, they weren't yet ready. He told them, they didn't listen. They weren't actually any more ready. He felt no longer was any point. There's no point telling them off, so he waited. You have to find the right opportunity when they're actually ready for it. It's a very, very important nekuda in this time. A person sometimes sees something. He has to think carefully. How are you going to say it? A person's wife, a child wants to say something which is frustrating him. There's a tremendous chokhmah in waiting for the right time, for them saying the right words. Yaakov Avinu could have said it straight away. Shimon Levi were wrong, Yaakov was right, and Shimon Levi must have walked around thinking, well, we got the last word in. Yaakov Avinu didn't say anything. No. Years and years later, he finished off the conversation. I heard a story from the Baal Ma'aseh himself. It says, Chil Yaakovson, he once told me this story. Lapin was a very old man. Chil Yaakovson used to walk with him to shul. Chil Yaakovson at the time was a 12-year-old boy. Lapin was a very old, 80s. And he used to walk very slowly. And he used to get frustrated. So while he used to walk with him, he used to pull off leaves off the bushes that were hanging over the road on the way to shul. And he used to break them into pieces and then carry on to the next bush, take off the next leaf. And you could see that Rabbi Lapin frowned, but he didn't say anything. He had walked through shul, and then on the way back from shul, he carried on doing the same thing. And then Rabbi Lapin invited him in. He said, I want to thank you so much. Do you realize how special you are? And then he gave him a cube of sugar as a reward. That by him was a huge reward. At a right today, a cube of sugar should be like a prize. And then he said to him, do you realize what a mitzvah you've done? He sat down with him for a few minutes. Then he said to him, you know, you're pulling leaves of other things. So he straight away started arguing that it's hefka because it's on the other side of the road, it's on the side of the road. And the Lapin thought for a second. He said, for a chashuv, a person like you, who's already doing such a wonderful mitzvah, for you it's pasnished to start pulling leaves off a bush. And he said, he always learned a tremendous lesson. 99% of people, you see a child doing something you don't like. A little child, you talk about, he was ready, an old man. What does a person do? Stop. It's wrong. Don't do that. But Lapin thought about it. What's the best way? How to say it? Waited for the right time. It's an ancient thing that here Yaakov Avinu waited years and years to finish that conversation because he realized they were not ready to hear it. There's a famous chazal in this week's parsha. Rashi mentions it. That Esav married and Bosbas Basi Shmuel. And elsewhere he calls them Mochlas. We see in the Medrash, says Rashi, three people, all their avos get forgiven. A Ger Shel Yisgayel, Oyla LeGdulo, somebody who becomes great, and somebody who gets married, all his avos get forgiven. So they all talk about why is it mentioned Dafka by Esav. So you see that even Esav Arosha, the terrible, terrible Esav, even he could get Mechila when he got married. Chaim Kaufman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, used to say like this. He used to say that it's a message. When you have an opportunity to grow, you don't use it. It's a Musadika thing. Esav, you had the opportunity to get Mechila. You never got the Mechila. It's used to say this every time. When coming up to Chanukah, you've got an opportunity to strive for Chanukah. If you do a Chapur Ryan, you've lost it. But why is it? Why is it that these three people get a Mechila on all their avails? So one of the pshatim is as follows, that a person who moves away from the reason why he's doing his avos, he pushes himself away, then he deserves to be forgiven. And these three people, in their own way, have chosen a path to take them away from their avos. A goy behaves like a goy, and now he's miskaya, he wants to become a yid. He's showing, I don't want to be any more a goy. I want to change the way I'm living. So he moves away from his path. He becomes a girl. So he deserves that. All his avers as a goy should be forgiven. A person is not married without a wife. A person can be easily nishan in different kinds of averas. Doesn't have the protection. Chazal said many wonderful things about the chiyuv of getting married. So he gets married. So he shows that he's pushing himself away from his past life. He wants to get married. So we're moichlim on his past. And oyla legdulo. Oyla legdulo is somebody who realizes not to get mixed up with kleinekeit and with small things. Nainet beyakiv, Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the grandson, Ariel Shapiro. He's now Rosh Hashiva. But now the beyakiv, this Ariel Shapiro, is only a couple of years older than me. And he always said one word from his grandfather, the Rosh Hashiva. Every time he got opportunity, he would say this word. The Rosh Hashiva must have told him the same words, I never heard the Rosh Hashiva saying it. That if you have to deal in, when you go into business, don't sell, don't get involved in needles. Sell diamonds. Because even if you gain and you manage to make a profit, and you get an extra needle or you sell an extra needle, you've already made an extra needle. If you sell diamonds, that's the way to go about it. And what he was trying to say is, don't get busy with little things in life. Now, he was giving a moshul. He didn't mean to sell diamonds or anything. Don't get busy with the cleaner chitin. You speak about this all the time. Don't get busy with the little things. A person gets busy with the little things, his whole life can be wasted. Somebody said this tiny little comment. I lost this few pounds on something I didn't need to buy. Something broke in the house. If you get very busy with the little things, your entire life is gone with it. So Oyla Legdula means somebody who goes up to greatness. He realizes, I'm not interested anymore in Ketanim. I'm only interested in Gadlus. So then he deserves to get a Mechila on all his Aveiros. Oyla Legdula. And that is an instant message. That a person, it's very important in the Kuddah, a person has to understand that in this world, he has to see how much is little, cleaner things. In the children of Esav, it says like this. Eile b'nei etze bilon v'zavon v'okum. There's different pshat. Rechama Kodesh got a very nice pshat. He says it's referring to people who try to be etze v'olam habo. Okay. But the Kleokos says it's referring to those who try and hold money. Eile b'nei etze. Those who try to etze. They try to hold money, b'nei, their children, their descendants, meaning, what would they get out of holding money? Bilon is loshen balahus, nightmares, v'zavon is loshen of fear, v'okon is loshen of tzors. A person who spends his life trying to hold money, the consequences of it are terrible. Instead, what should he do? We have in this week's parasha the famous story of the Malach fighting Esav, Chofetz Chaim, mentions with tremendous avichus, he talks about this a very lot, that the Malach of Esav did not attack Avraham Avinu, that was the Amud of Chesed. He didn't attack Yitzchak Avinu, that was the Amud of Tefillah. He attacked only Yaakov, the Amud of Torah. Because the Yitzchak can cope with everything. He can cope with people doing Chesed, he can cope with people davening. He cannot cope if people are learning Torah. If people are learning Torah, says Chofetz Chaim, the Yitzchak has no hope. And that's why the Malach managed to withhold himself. When he came to Yaakov Avinu, he had no choice. He had to destroy Torah, because if he wasn't successful in destroying Torah, Esav knew they would have no hope. And was the Malach successful? Little bit. He managed to hurt the foot of Yaakov. The leg of Yaakov, the support of Yaakov, that Yaakov was limping for a short time till he was able to get back his strength. That's Tumchei Torah. Tumchei Torah, the ability to support Torah, that was shaken a little bit. And that's why for the Yeshua to come, Tumchei Torah has to be, Yaakov is not whole until Tumchei Torah becomes strong. And the Chofetz Chaim is very marich about this nekuda. That is the power, that is the way to destroy Esav, is between machzik Torah. And if a person instead spends his time just hoarding his money, instead we have the bilon, the zavon, the okon, the tzolos that come with a person, instead of using his money to be toimech teir, he spends time to hold teir, look what happens to it. It's interesting that the Chazal tell us, person helps his friend's son and learn Torah, it's as if he gave birth to him. That's in the olden days, where the Rashi Chazal say, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pasuk describes Aaron's children, Moshe Rabbeinu's children. That's in the olden days that every father used to teach his child, not every father could. So sometimes if a person's father couldn't and somebody else's father would teach the child, he was the one who was considered the father. Nowadays that we have the Takana of Moshe's Torah, so if a person supports the school, that way somebody else's child can learn Torah, it's kidu yoldoi. It's kidu yoldoi. It's a person who helps another child to learn Torah, kidu yoldoi. The Gemara says that if a person helps a child to learn Torah, kipisir, you'll be like my mouth. The Gemara says this, that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, a person can decree exactly as he wishes. I mean, if a person says that so and so should live, Akshbuch has mevatel da'atoi to somebody who helps others learn Torah. That means it's something which should be very disturbing that there are so many schools in Manchester struggling. It's a very disturbing thing. You see the moisters, you go to Hetzal, you see how schools, the grounds, the buildings. Yeah, you've got schools where they've got playgrounds that are muddy and buildings that are old. This is what Malach of Esav managed to do. He managed to hurt the foot of Yaakov. He managed to destroy the support of Yaakov. So I want to finish off with one short verse from Yitzchak Volozhin on the Haftarah. He says, "V'chamos Yaakov achicha techascha busha." Very nice moshe, he says. From the sadness, from the upsetment of Yaakov Avinu techascha busha, you should be embarrassed of yourself. He gives a moshe of a father who has two children. One an edler, good, kind boy. One a nasty Vildechai. One time the nasty Vildechai comes in, says this father, creates the other one's called Yankel. Yankel hurts me. And what does the father do? He slaps him on the face. He says, what the love that my younger brother, that the nice one hurts me, and now you hurt me. He said, if he hurts you, I can't imagine what you must have done to him to provoke him that he hurt you. Such a boy doesn't hurt anybody. If he hurts you, you must have done something really bad to him. Esav HaRosh will come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Yitzchak Volozhin, and he'll say, Yaakov Avinu is annoyed with me, he's done bad things. Look at Yaakov Avinu, they've done things wrong to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Mechamos Yaakov Ochicha Techas Chopusha, if Yaakov Avinu does things wrong, Techas Chopusha, you deserve to be embarrassed. Many times people are critical of Yidden. You have to remember that, well, why don't you say this many times? What they used to do is force Yidden into money lending. In the Middle Ages, that was the only panosa Yid could have. They didn't allow them to own land. They didn't allow them to get into a profession. And then they would accuse the Yidden that all you ever do is money lent. That's... Avada, we've done things wrong and we have to try to be better. But the Esav deserves the busha because they have provoked us to what they have done to behave like we have. We should be zecher to know how this is all about the goals we said at the beginning. How to behave in Golus, the true taste of Derech Eretz, but with a distance, and we should be zecher to end this Golus. May we remain Amen.